sack by Michael Strahan.
I will always remember the Giant fans.
Welcome to another edition of Giants Chronicles here on MSG. I'm Bob Papa from the Legacy Club in MetLife Stadium. The New York Giants were born in 1925, and they have a rich tradition of head coaches that have guided the franchise to their championships. The New York Giants have had 17 head coaches, two have wound up in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Over the next 30 minutes, we'll take a look at the head coaching legacy of the Big Blue. In 1925, the NFL was still in its Neanderthal stage when the league offered a franchise to a 38-year-old New York entrepreneur named Tim Mara. Mara hired Bob Folwell as the New York Football Giants' first head coach. Playing in New York's famed Polo Grounds, Folwell led Big Blue to an 8-4 record in 1925. Following that season, Folwell left to become head coach of the Philadelphia Quakers of the rival American Football League. He was replaced by former Giants offensive lineman Joseph Alexander, who led the Giants to an 8-4-1 record in 1926. Earl Pottinger replaced Joe Alexander in 1927, and the Giants went on to win their first NFL championship with an 11-1-1 record. In the 13-game season, New York posted 10 shutouts and allowed only 20 points all year. After a dismal 4-7-2 season in 1928, Tim Mara decided it was best to clean house. He fired Earl Pottinger and named Leroy Andrews as the new head coach. Mara also purchased a struggling Detroit Wolverine franchise in order to obtain the rights to superstar quarterback Benny Friedman. The move proved to be successful, as Andrews and Friedman led the Giants to a 13-1-1 record in 1929. In 1930, Tim Mara turned over control of the team to his two sons, Jack and Wellington. The Giants posted a 13-4 record, and for the second consecutive season, New York finished in second place behind the Green Bay Packers. Quarterback Benny Friedman would take over as head coach for the final two games of the 1930 season and lead the Giants to two victories to finish out the year. In their first 6 years of existence, the Giants would go through five head coaches. But in 1931, former tackle Steve Owen was chosen to lead Big Blue into a whole new era of New York Giants football.
Well, Steve Owen was really, I think, the rock that we built on. And he was a rock. He was a huge man in those days. Came from Kansas, and he had everything about him that I think Mid-America implies he personified. He was reliable and trustworthy, and those were formative years for me. He was like my second father.
He originated the umbrella defense, where the defense was compared to an umbrella with the four defensive backs representing the umbrella spokes.
He was a defensive and an offensive innovator. Many of the defenses you see used today were first used by him.
Under Owen, the Giants played in 8 of the first 14 NFL championship games. In 1934, in what is now known as the Sneakers Game, the Giants defeated the Chicago Bears 30-13 to win their second NFL title. Trailing 13-3 in the third quarter, some of the Giants players changed into basketball shoes to increase traction on the icy Polo Ground surface. The Giants responded with a 27-point fourth quarter to capture the championship. 4 years later in 1938, a 23-17 victory over the Green Bay Packers produced the Giants' third NFL title. In his entire coaching career, Owen never had a contract. Just a loyal handshake with the Mara family. After posting a 3-9 record in 1953, Steve Owen was asked to step down after 23 years as head coach. He remains the winningest coach in New York Giants history with 151 wins. Stay tuned for more Chronicles, the Giants coaching legacy. Welcome back to Chronicles, the Giants coaching legacy. In 1954, another former player, Jim Lee Howell, was named head coach of the Giants. Howell agreed to step in only after securing the jobs of arguably the two greatest staff assistants in NFL history. With future Hall of Famers Vince Lombardi and Tom Landry as his offensive and defensive coordinators, Howell never had a losing season in his 7 years as the Giants head coach. He led New York to the NFL championship game three times in those 7 years, and in 1956, the Giants won their first NFL title since 1938, a 47-7 rout of the Chicago Bears in what became known as the Sneakers Game sequel.
And Triplett's blast 20 yards down to the 2-yard line. All those pretty white sneakers.
The Giants would play for the NFL championship again in 1958 and 1959. The following year, 1960, would mark the final season of Jim Lee Howell's career as the New York Giants head coach, and he would retire with a record of 53-27-4. In 1961, Allie Sherman replaced Howell as head coach. Sherman led the Giants to the NFL championship game in 1961, 62, and 1963. Sherman coached five more years in New York and retired in 1968 with a record of 57-51-4. In 1969, the Giants named yet another former player as head coach, legendary fullback Alec Webster. Alex would be named Coach of the Year in 1970 and had another winning season in 1972. But soon after, the Giants faltered, a fate many blamed on Webster's easygoing nature and coaching style. He was replaced in 1974 by Bill Arnsparger, who coached for 2.5 seasons. Arnsparger had the honor of being the first head coach to take the field in the new state-of-the-art Giants Stadium in 1976. But he was fired midway through the year after the Giants got off to an 0-9 start. John McVay replaced Arnsparger in 1976, but he too struggled to produce a consistent winner in New York. The Giants had a 5-3 record in 1978, but lost 7 of its last 8 games to finish 6-10. But McVay's tenure is most infamously remembered for the fumble fiasco against the hated Philadelphia Eagles. As a result of that play, McVay was fired in mid-December, and newly appointed general manager George Young hired San Diego assistant Ray Perkins as the new head coach for the 1979 season.
When I first took the job, the first responsibility I had is to find the best head coach that we could find for the Giants. My recommendation is absolutely the right one, and I'd like to introduce to you Ray Perkins.
It's a great honor, needless to say, for me to be chosen as head coach of the New York Giants.
Perkins was a tough disciplinarian, and in 1981, he led the Giants to their first playoff appearance in 18 years, a 27-21 victory over the Philadelphia Eagles.
He was quite interesting in stuff because he could see that, you know, we needed some discipline here with the Giants, and I think that's why they brought Ray in, and we needed that kind of discipline. We needed someone like that. And he was tough, but he changed it. He did change it, him and George Young. I give him credit for changing this whole organization around.
Ray Perkins resigned from the New York Giants following the 1982 season and returned to his alma mater to become the head coach of the Alabama Crimson Tide. And in 1983, the Giants replaced him with a coach who would change the fortunes of Big Blue for years to come. Stay tuned for more Chronicles, the Giants' coaching legacy. Welcome back to Chronicles, the Giants' coaching legacy.
Before I became the head coach of the Giants, I coached the linebackers. And some of the things that I tried to I always emphasize that. Oh, I got to start this over.
Okay.
I can't get this right.
That was really good, though. We were on a roll.
Yeah, it's coming on pretty good.
Yeah. Doesn't matter. Just take your time, regroup, and we're still rolling.
You're actually getting better.
Yeah, I think you are.
I mean, that safety.
Do you want to trade?
Yeah.
Ready to go? I'm going to get it right this time.
And in 1983, the New York Giants would get it right when they hired Bill Parcells as their new head coach. Parcells was the team's defensive coordinator in 1981 and 1982, and had redesigned the Big Blue defense to match his own tough, aggressive style.
We were changing philosophies to a three-man line, and of course we got Lawrence and Jim Burt and several other guys that year. And there were a period of about 2 or 3 years there where you put that defense in front up there and they couldn't block any of them. And that's a pretty secure feeling as a coach to have a defense up there where they couldn't block any of them.
From the beginning, it was clear that Parcells' fiery coaching style would take some getting used to.
Fortunately, I had a good support system there with the Giants, and the whole organization got behind me, and I probably wasn't too easy to get behind in those days.
Some of these guys got to get their head out of their ass around here.
A little bit mercurial, a little bit brusque would be the word.
What the are you doing staying 10 yards in the backfield? Get up on the line. Don't you know how much time's on the clock?
And I was probably pushing the envelope harder than I should have, more determined than I ever was. Fortunately, things fell in place, and we started winning pretty regularly.
In 1984, Parcells opened up the Giants' offense by emphasizing the passing game and quarterback Phil Sims.
I felt like we needed to get more bigger plays, so I wanted to try to get a little more impetus in our offense. Now, I wouldn't say we're a big play team, but we could throw the ball down the field, and that's really what I was interested in doing.
And in Super Bowl 21, Parcells would get his first championship behind a record-setting performance by Sims.
I knew he was playing well. He told me in warm-ups he was ready to rock. I remember saying, whatever you want to do, Bill, let's do it.
Pitch. Morris turns around, back to Sims. On the flea flicker. Sims is looking way downfield. He's got a receiver. Complete. Down to the 10. 5. Touchdown, I believe. And over the mark at the 1. Still in the pocket of the 1-yard line.
Sims went 22 of 25 and threw for 268 yards in a 39-20 victory over the Denver Broncos.
The Super Bowl champions are the Giants.
4 years later, Parcells would lead the Giants back to the Super Bowl, this time with backup quarterback Jeff Hostetler leading the charge. Replacing an injured Phil Sims in Week 15, Hostetler carried the Giants through the playoffs and into Super Bowl 25, a 2019 victory over the Buffalo Bills in one of the most dramatic finishes in Super Bowl history.
Scott Norwood, he can fire the shot heard round the world now.
They're lining up to kick this field goal, and I'm saying to myself, you know, it would be a shame if we lose this game because we outplayed them so badly. And still, they still had an opportunity, to their credit, to win. That was really satisfying to win with that. After losing your quarterback, everybody said you can't win without your starting quarterback. Well, Jeff Hostetler proved that wrong.
In his 8 seasons as Giants head coach, Bill Parcells won 3 division titles, 2 Super Bowls, and the love and respect of Giants fans forever.
I had a good support system, a good front office, tremendous ownership. I couldn't ask for any more.
Bill, take it away.
Pretty much everything that I have in this world is because of the Maras and the family and the opportunity that they gave me. As I think back on things and my time, a place in your heart always reminds me that once you're a Giant, you're always a Giant.
Stay tuned for more Chronicles, the Giants coaching legacy. Welcome back to Chronicles, the Giants coaching legacy. After leading the New York Giants to their 2nd Super Bowl victory in 4 years, Bill Parcells retired after the 1990 season. Offensive assistant Ray Hanley was picked to lead the defending champions into the new decade. But after 2 disappointing seasons, Hanley was fired in 1992, and former Denver Broncos head coach Dan Reeves was hired to replace him. In his first season, he led the Giants to an 11-5 record and a berth in the playoffs. Reeves' 1993 season record is the best ever for a first-year Giants coach and earned him Coach of the Year honors. But after going 5-11 in 1995 and 6-10 in 1996, Reeves was fired and replaced by Jim Fossil, who vowed to bring excitement back to Big Blue football.
You've got to be able to make big plays. You've got to be able to strike from different places on the field. And we have to very much upgrade the amount of big plays that were produced here last year.
You got to want to make big plays. The way you make big plays is by outperforming a guy in front of you. Let's make big plays today. Win on three. One, two, three, win!
In his first season, Fossil delivered on his promise and was rewarded when he won Coach of the Year honors in 1997. 4 years later, in the 2000 season, Fossil made another bold proclamation.
I'm raising the stakes right now. This is a poker game. I'm shoving my chips to the middle of the table. I'm raising the ante. Anybody wants in, get in. Anybody wants out, can get out. Okay? This team is going to the playoffs.
Stover approaches the football. We are underway.
The Giants would not only make the playoffs, they would advance to the Super Bowl.
Dixon to the 10, 15, 20, 25, 30.
Ron Dixon's going to go. No one's going to catch him.
And even though they would fall short, Jim Fossil had returned the Giants to NFL prominence. But after having losing seasons in 2001 and 2003, Fossil was relieved of his coaching duties. Finally, on January 6, 2004, the Giants hired the man that would take the franchise to a whole new level of success.
When I accepted the position at the press conference as the head football coach of the New York Giants, the things that I said were the things that I believed. The reestablishment of New York Giant pride was the thing that we had to do. We had to reestablish the line of scrimmage. We had to become a team that won the physical battle again. We had to play the way the Giants were built to play.
You hang together every snap, every play, and hang together and fight your ass off, man. We're going to have a hell of a football team.
Do it.
9 games into his first season as head coach, Coughlin made rookie Eli Manning his starting quarterback. And in 2005, Manning and the Giants went 11-5. 2 years later in 2007, the Giants advanced to Super Bowl 42, where they treated fans to perhaps the greatest play in Super Bowl history.
Manning takes the snap, back to throw, under pressure, avoids the rush, and he's going to fight out of it.
I can't believe that he's not down. How does he get out of that?
Now throws it deep downfield.
Oh, no, not down the middle of the field. This is our last, you know.
Wide open Tyree, who makes the catch at the 22-yard line.
When we talk about playing above the X's and O's, you have to play above the X's and O's to win in this league. There's the greatest example of all.
Manning and Tyree's heroics led the Giants to the greatest upset in Super Bowl history.
The New York Giants have knocked off the New England Patriots 17-14 as Tom Coughlin gets a Gatorade bath.
You know, at that point in time, and I told the players this the night before, what I want in terms of winning the world championship is for you to experience the feeling once in your life where you are the world champions. You are the best in the world. You have paid the price. You have won the game on the field. You have beaten one of the greatest teams of all time. You are the world champions.
4 years later, Tom Coughlin would once again motivate and inspire his team to reach the pinnacle of success with a message that would resonate throughout the entire season.
You're going to hear me say this 1,000 times. Finish, finish, finish.
Taking their head coach's words to heart, the Giants would advance to play in Super Bowl 46 in a rematch with the New England Patriots. And once again, they would treat the fans to one of the greatest finishes in Super Bowl history.
Into the end zone, a jump ball, and it's incomplete, and the ball game's over, and the Giants have won Super Bowl 46. Finish is what Tom Coughlin said, and the Giants have finished off the Patriots in the Super Bowl for the second time in 4 years.
When you set a goal and you accomplish the goal, and when you specify
exactly what it's going to take, and it happens exactly that way, that is rewarding, it's satisfying, but it's also fulfilling. There's nothing like it.
Tom Coughlin has made his mark in New York Giants history, setting a standard of excellence for himself and his team. And he knows the special feeling of pride that comes with being a New York football Giant.
Once a Giant, always a Giant means that you're true blue through and through. And you believe in this team and this franchise and how it's been established, what it stands for. To be a Giant means to be at your very best all the time. To have great pride in putting that uniform on and understanding all that's gone before you and the dues that have been paid in order that we can have the great opportunity that we have.
The Giants' last two championships have been delivered by head coach Tom Coughlin, and there's a thread to Giants co-owner Wellington Mara. See, Mr. Mara had been with the franchise since its inception in 1925, and Coach Coughlin was the last coach that he had hired. We hope you enjoyed this journey through the tradition of the New York Giants head coaches. From the Legacy Club at MetLife Stadium, I'm Bob Papa. Thanks for joining us here on Giants Chronicles on MSG.